Greetings, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, and it's Thursday, February the 25th. And remember, it's a short month, folks. This is episode number 9 of our Lenten Daily Devotion, featuring insights from Mary Alice Mulligan's book called Go to Jerusalem. But we're doing some other stuff along the way. We're going to hear some really interesting scripture today from the prophet Isaiah. In the Bible I have with me, the subheading for this is True and False Worship. But like so many of the prophets in the Old Testament, it's going to look at how we act and what rituals we go through, what behaviors we go through to try to please God. And then the prophet questions whether that's really what God is looking for. So we're going to jump on that a little bit today. We're going to end with another really good poem by one of my favorite writers from my home state, the state I'm in right now, Kentucky. So let's begin. The candle's lit. I've got my seltzer water. Already had the tea and the coffee today, folks. Sorry. And we've got the meditation music in the background. I hope you can hear it. We're going to begin by reading from Isaiah, as I said, chapter 58. Isaiah is a big book, and it's got long verses, which all combines to make it a huge book in the Bible. Isaiah 58, this is verses 1 through 12. This is the prophet Isaiah, all right, talking to us as God would talk to us about our true and our false worship. And that theme is going to continue into our devotion. Here we go. Chapter 58, 1 through 12. Book of Isaiah. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to hear my laws. You would almost think this was a righteous nation that would never abandon its God. They love to make a show of coming to me and asking me to take action on their behalf. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have done much penance, and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why. It's because you are living for yourselves, even while you are fasting. You keep right on oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like a blade of grass in the wind. You dress in sackcloth and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. The kind of fasting I want calls you to free those who are wrongly imprisoned, and to stop oppressing those who work for you. Treat them fairly and give them what they earn. I want you to share your food with the hungry and to welcome poor wanderers into your homes. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. If you do these things, your salvation will come like the dawn. Yes, your healing will come quickly. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Stop oppressing the helpless. And stop making false accusations and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as day. The Lord will guide you continually, watering your life when you are dry and keeping you healthy too. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Your children will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as the people who rebuild their walls and cities. Amen. That was the New Living Translation of that. Wasn't that contemporary-ish? Like, that could be talking to us today? Well, that's what Living Word is, folks. That bears a rereading today, I think. Amen. Here's what Mary Alice Mulligan has for us today. In one church, the sanctuary was open on Ash Wednesday for people to come in for meditation, prayer, and personal Bible reading. The minister was present throughout the day to offer additional prayer and blessing and to make the sign of the cross in ashes on their forehead, if requested. One worshiper found herself alone with the pastor, so she talked about her theology, her faith, and her appreciation for how their congregation allowed for a variety of theological and social justice positions, yet they stayed together. She concluded, "We each need a congregation. We really cannot be faithful followers of Jesus without a community of believers supporting, challenging, and worshiping with us." Isaiah warns us against going through communal rituals without paying attention to God's desires for earth's people. Again, that line. Isaiah warns against going through communal rituals without paying attention to God's desires for earth's people. We are not just to perform certain behaviors to please God. Our behaviors should further God's purposes, correcting injustices, making sure all people have enough of life's necessities, eliminating oppression. When we participate in these actions, God is pleased. We are mending the world's breaches. Amen. Now let us reflect upon the reading of Scripture and the devotion as Mary Alice Mulligan lifts up some insights and questions for us to prompt our deeper thinking. She lays this on our hearts. Think of a way your congregation has shined God's light through its actions. Think of a way your congregation has shined God's light through its actions. Write about that experience in your journal. She asks, has your congregation ever served as a restorer of streets to live in? Record that. If your congregation has ever served as a restorer of streets to live in. That's from the Isaiah scripture, right? The end, verse 12. Record that. Next question. Can you see places in the world where holy mending is needed? Can you see them? Places where holy mending is needed? How might you help your congregation move forward to be a repairer of the breach, a healer of brokenness, a bringer of justice? How might you help your congregation move forward to be a repairer of the breach, a healer of brokenness, a bringer of justice? Our poem today is by that old Henry County, Kentucky farmer named Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry, a man of deep faith, the Baptist tradition, a farmer who lives on the earth and off the earth, and sees God in that lifestyle. His poem today is called The Peace of Wild Things. The Peace of Wild Things. My mom has this one marked in one of her books of poetry. Proud to see that Wendell Berry poem there. I'll read it through twice. The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Let us pray. Guide us, Lord Yahweh, to bring your purposes to fruition on earth. Amen.